I was a young boy that had big plans. Now I'm just another shitty old man. But I had fun and I hate everything. The world tells me so, fuck you.
Hello, this is Dan and I'm with Grant, and we're here to record another Earn This podcast. How you doing today, Grant?
I'm doing good. I'm ready to do a podcast on a slightly more masculine subject than our last one.
I did enjoy our discussion about the OC, but I think you're right. I think it was we needed to change to something else.
Absolutely. So,
our topic for today is Green Day. We're going to talk about Green Day for a couple minutes in kind of a general sense, and then we're going to each count down our five favorite Green Day albums. So Green Day, to me, is one of the most curious, inscrutable, interesting bands. Not in what their music is. Like, the music, it's generally pretty accessible. But just kind of figuring out what the essence of Green Day is. It's so hard for... Like, there's not really anything that I think of being, that is what Green Day is, if that makes sense. They've just changed so much.
Yeah, I agree with that, Dan. I think a common consensus seems to be with them that you either like their early stuff or their later stuff, and not both, or you don't even dislike both, you like one or the other. And as we'll get into in our top five lists, I don't know if that's always true.
It's definitely not true. And I also don't really subscribe to that because, to me, it's not a binary. There's not early Green Day and then late Green Day. I think they evolved a little bit on each album.
Well, and the reason I don't like, you know, ideas like that is it gives off the impression that, you know, both of them can't be good or both can't even be bad.
Yeah.
One has to be good, one has to be bad, right?
I agree with that too, yeah. I mean, I hope we both kind of have some complex opinions about not just, I mean, it sounds like we're both going to, of not just early, not just late, being good, being bad, because there's really so much going on with pretty much every era of their music.
Yeah, and I think I'm probably a bigger fan than you. I mean, they're easily in my top 10 bands of all time. I'm a huge fan, and that's really grown over the years. Initially, I wasn't quite so high on them, so let's get into it.
Okay, yeah, that sounds good. And I think you were going to go first? Can't remember where we settled on this.
Yeah, sure, let's do it.
All right, so let's hear your number five.
My number five Green Day album is Warning.
Ah.
Yeah, this dropped in, I believe, 2000. It was their last one before American Idiot. I would say it's their poppiest album, but at the same time, it is usually viewed as, you know, the first sign of a little bit of political, you know, ramblings, or not ramblings, but thoughts. The first sign of them writing songs that were about something other than just sitting around doing nothing. I think it's a solid album. I love Church on Sunday. I love Waiting in Minority. I think there's a bit of a dead spell in the middle that I can basically do without and basically skip when I play the album. I ran through it again recently, and a little too much in the middle I wasn't really a fan of. A little too much, there's some harmonica going on, there's some different kind of melodies there, and doesn't really hit me as much as some of their albums. But I like it. I think Church on Sunday is fantastic. And I think it's a nice little warm-up for where they went in the 2000s.
Yeah, I think I agree with many of the points you just made. Certainly, you know, you hear Minority, and that was the most openly political song that they did before American Idiot.
Sure.
And, you know, I definitely agree with the sense that it's poppier. I mean, it doesn't drive... The guitars don't hit quite as hard as they do on the
and,
albums.
No, and you know the earlier albums are certainly poppy, but it doesn't feel. It's certainly less punky. It's more of, you know, they don't feel restrained to just writing punk songs. Yeah, they don't drive as much. They're a lot more restrained, and you know, there's slower melodies. There's harmonicas. There's stuff, you know, there's different kind of rhythms and stuff like that. So I'm okay with it. I just think there's better ones out there.
I don't even think of it as a punk album. I mean, it's got a couple of flourishes of punk, but to me,
I agree.
You can kind of hear that's where they came from, but if you just heard Warning and nothing else by Green Day, you would think they're like a throwback pop rock band.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
I wouldn't listen to the Kinks and the Beatles too much, you know?
Right. I wouldn't think most punk bands would really want to consider Warning to be one of their... one of the great albums of that genre or anything
like that.
And
that was right around the time that they... I think Warning is interesting. for a bunch of reasons. But I also, I think one of the reasons it's interesting is that that was kind of the moment where they said, we're okay, we're definitely okay not being a punk band.
Right.
Like they gave up attempts to be a punk band at that point.
Absolutely. And they were only sort of really there at the beginning, let's be honest.
They're not, they're not heavy punk band, but they gave up their punk aesthetic. And
I totally agree. Yeah. So that's why it's interesting to me, is it in a way, it did pave the way for what we saw in the 2000s.
Right.
In various ways. So I think it's a nice little holding, nice little transition album, almost a holding pattern, but that's where I have it.
Okay, yeah. So I it came down to the wire for me for my number five, and I had to really parse my feelings, because the two albums, one is an album that I have to confess I only listened to all the way through. I had listened to a lot of it, but I only listened to all the way through for the first time about, as I was preparing for this podcast. I listened to every single track in order, kind of full volume on my headphones, really ate it, drank it in. And that is Dose. So Dose did not quite hit my top five, but I found myself quite loving Dose, actually.
Interesting.
I don't know if it's to come yet on your top five. We'll see. But it's a... I could hit play on Dose and blast it at a party, and there's a couple of weird moments with it that kind of suck the wind out of it. And I think, like, if there had been, like, one more great song on it, then I would have had it at number five. But I do want to shout out a couple of songs that I really loved on Dose. One of them is Wild One. I don't know if you know that one. It's kind of like a mid-tempo-ish one.
Yes,
it's,
I like that
one. It's number four.
I like that one.
I fell for that song. It's got a great melody, and I like the way that it uses its guitar backbeat rhythm. And there are a couple other good ones on there, and I even like the silliness a little bit. It's a little much, like the Fuck Time and Nightlife with the rap. It's a little much, and I wouldn't say I enjoyed it, but as like a kind of throwaway in the spirit of the album, of a party album that you just press play and you enjoy the entire duration, it kind of worked for me that way. But
yeah, well, I'll just give a quick mention of this. I will just go ahead and say it's not in my top five, but yeah, I'm with you. I'm fine with it. Yeah, it has a time and a place. It is a good party album. I'm fine with it from about track three to somewhere about 9 or 10. I don't like the beginning and the end. It's the Nightlife, and I think there's one really slow kind of throwaway track at the very beginning.
Yeah,
but basically, the midsection, I'm a fan of. I like Makeout Party a lot.
Makeout Party's great.
That one sort of reminds me a little bit of Van Halen, like sort of trashy and fun. So the album was Stray Heart, I like a lot. Just a great pure pop song right in the middle there. It's a nice little garage, garage rock, very much a throwaway, not a throwaway in a bad way. It's just it's a quick, it's over in about 40, 30 or 40 minutes.
Yeah, it's about
it's a quick, fun little album. I think Fuck Time is pretty awful most of the time. It might have a time and a place,
I don't want to say it's a good song, but
yeah,
I don't want to say that I want to say I smiled when I listened to it.
It's better live. I will say that. I've seen it live. It's better live.
Interesting.
Yeah, so that's all I'll say about Dose. Interesting little album.
But my real number five is one that I have known for a while, and I actually had it initially, my rough draft, I had it pegged a couple spots higher, and then at one point I had it off the top five, and it settled right at number five, and that is Nimrod. So I have Nimrod at number five. I think Nimrod is kind of their inflection point. Warning is the transition, and Nimrod is where you can hear them going to that transition. Up through Insomniac, they kind of have a much more homogenous sound. With Nimrod,
Dan is making our nerd background very clear with terms like inflection point. I just want to throw out.
Oh, yes. Sorry about that.
Yeah. I'm talking rock music here, dude.
But I also, this is where, to me, they, if they had just done Dookie and Insomniac and broken up, Dookie would go down as a great album, an album that a lot of people love. And I don't know if it would have made Green Day a great band, but with Nimrod, that was the album where I heard them starting to turn into something great. And for me, it's not just that they kind of were doing different textures, they were doing ballads, they were doing mid-tempo. It's that they were... Even the heavy-hitting songs sounded like they were prepared to be played live a little bit better. Like, it sounded like, instead of playing this at a little punk club, now this is something you could listen to at like a big concert hall, like, or maybe even eventually an arena. They hadn't quite hit arena rock, but when I listened to, you know, Walking Contradiction, when I listened to, Walking Contradiction is Insomniac. That's not the one that I meant. When you listen to Nice Guys Finish Last, when you listen to The Grouch, those sound like songs that you could play at a big arena to me. But it even goes further than that. I mean, to me, the real key is the variation that they kind of got into. I mean, Hitchin' a Ride, if you were to like go through all of Green Day's tracks from their very first song on their like first EP all the way up through, you know, all the way to the end, Hitchin' a Ride, which is like the second or third track, it would be the first time I would kind of like really pay attention, because that's where they really start to do some interesting stuff with their sound. You can see them kind of infusing different styles into their sound, and it's a great track, but it's also, it just kind of shows that they're changing, and there's lots of, I like Redundant, is Redundant on Nimrod? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I love Time of Your Life, Good Riddance.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a great ballad.
Everyone's Prom Song.
Of course. I got ripped in high school because I made a video, a slideshow for the marching band. I was the historian. And for like the song where we showed pictures of all the seniors, I put it to Time of Your Life. And everybody's like, oh, way too predictable, man. You got to do something different there.
But I want to say it was the last song played at our prom. And I wasn't even mad. It just felt perfect. It just felt like it's a cliche, but that was fine.
Yeah. And it's... The reason it's at number 5 and not higher for me is kind of exactly what you were saying about Warning is kind of how I feel about Nimrod. The middle blends together for me. There's some good songs, but it doesn't really stand out as a lot of the songs kind of blend together a little bit. So, good song, good album, lots of, I kind of like how it's, you can almost tell with the ballads that it's a band just starting to come out of its shell. Like they haven't really mastered the art of balladry, but that's kind of what makes it exciting. Good album to listen to, and my number 5.
Yeah, so Nimrod is not in my top 5.
Okay.
Nimrod was a bit of one of those albums that I was in that I heard earlier, and it was sort of one of the reasons I wasn't high on them earlier. To me, it sort of exemplified some of the reasons I wasn't high on them earlier. I like a good portion of it. It's 18 songs long, though.
It's too long. It's way too long.
And
how the hell is it over 50 minutes
if
long?
If they had cut 6 of those songs... Now, obviously, it's easy to say because you would pick the worst 6 songs and just cut those and make the perfect album. But if they had cut 5 or 6 of those songs that were among the worst ones, I think it'd be a lot better. I love Nice Guys Finish Last.
Oh, yeah.
I think that's a fantastic
rock
song.
That's in my
song.
Top 10.
Green love that song, and I'm with you. There's a lot of great ballads on the album. Scattered, Redundant.
Yeah. Yep.
Worry Rock isn't really a ballad. This is a nice little mid-tempo, great melody one. I'm a big fan of that one. So there's a nice little stretch in there, mostly in the first half of the album.
Yeah, the first 7 songs
that has
are basically nice, I love all 7.
Nice Guys, yeah. Scattered, Redundant. Like you saw little hints of their, you know, balladry with songs like Having a Blast on Dookie, but the ones like Redundant and Scattered really sort of, you know, took that to the next level on Nimrod.
Yeah, I guess they had done at least a couple ballads.
Just a couple, but you're right. There definitely were more in Nimrod, and they were trying new things. King for a Day is a weird little, kind of fun little one that they like to play live. I think it's better live than on the record.
It is. It's kind of like a weird, almost jug band melody.
It's about cross dressing.
Yeah, it's kind of weird.
Yeah. My problem with Nimrod, it's too long. There's a number in the middle called Last Ride In that I think is terrible.
Yeah.
I think it's like I don't think there's any vocals in it, and I think it's terrible. And I really do not like Hitchin' a Ride.
Oh, you don't like Hitchin' a Ride?
I really do not. It is one of the Green Day songs that I hear played all the time, and I find it to be spectacularly boring.
Interesting.
Yeah, it does nothing for me. I love The Grouch.
Oh, The Grouch
is great, yeah. So Nice Guys Finish Last and The Grouch are both in the top... You know, 3 or 4 songs. You know, the first 3 or 4 songs in the album.
I think they're number 1 and 3.
Yeah, and those are great for me. And Hitchin' a Ride to me kills all of the all the energy there.
I like all the first 7 songs. And for each of my top 5, I chose a hidden gem, like a, okay. a song you don't hear played
okay.
all that
oh,
often.
Oh, I like that. Okay.
And my hidden gem is actually Scattered, which you brought up.
Scattered, I like. Scattered, a friend sent me on a mix CD way back before I, you know, when all I knew of Green Day was, you know, two songs off
right.
Dookie.
Yeah.
And I was like, this is really good. This is a very, very good song.
They have good vocal harmonies, which is something uh-huh. I value. It's got mm-hmm. an excellent melody.
Absolutely.
And it actually, like, it made me pay attention to the lyrics. And that's, in a broad sense, mm-hmm. one of my bigger complaints with Green Day is that I don't really know much about their lyrics because the music doesn't really make me pay attention to those lyrics.
I think that's true. I think there's something to that.
It gets better as they get later and get
yeah.
a bigger flair for drama.
I think there are parts where that changes, but I'm with you. Yeah, my problem with Nimrod is there's too much of the second half I can do without. Like, some
yeah.
of it is, you know, fine, you know, perfectly acceptable, but hardly memorable. And Last Ride In and Hitchin' a Ride... And I forget what the last couple of songs are after King for a Day,
it's definitely not perfect. Like
yeah.
I said, I did have it at one point
so
off
that's,
my top five.
So that's my thing with Nimrod. It's worth owning, though. If you're a big Green Day fan, it's worth owning. I'm not going to deny that.
Yeah. All right, so let's hear your number four.
All right, my number four, this will, I'm sure, be the first of many controversial selections here. My number four is Uno.
Ah.
I really like Uno. I wrote a long piece on our site about their whole trilogy, because
yeah.
I found it to be very interesting. And... Well, on some level, I think the three albums are fairly similar. I think Uno is clearly the best one. So, yes, Trey is not on my top five, and neither is Dose. I really can... You know, you mentioned the thing about the lyrics. I think that has changed now, and I think I really have a good sense of where they are now and the viewpoints Billy Joe has now and what he's thinking, what he's trying to say, what he's trying to believe in now, I think I have a good sense of with the trilogy. One thing I noted in my article about it is, by this point, by and large, at least on Uno, they're much better with ballads than rockers.
Yeah.
They have the same melody they always have, and they sound a little more mature, and I would say better lyrics,
mm-hmm.
and a nice, different perspective than they've had before. The rockers, quite frankly, don't rock as hard. They're not as breakneck. They're not as fun. They sound a little more predictable, and we've heard it before, and it's not fast enough, not fun enough sort of thing. But I think there's some great ballads on Uno. I think Stay the Night is outstanding.
Yeah, I really love Stay the Night.
Love Stay the Night. I love the idea of that song, which is sort of prevalent in the whole trilogy of, yeah, things in my life have not been a fairy tale, have not been perfect, you know, have not been a Hollywood story, but I still might want you to stick around. You know, there still might be something here, still might be worth salvaging. I really love that idea. Fell for You, I think, is another similar one that does a very good job. And I think it's a really solid album. I've frankly been surprised at how much staying power it had, you know, on my, you know, my ability to keep playing it, you know, in my rotation. And so that's what it is. Troublemaker is still terrible, though.
Yeah,
I will say that.
Yeah, I don't like Troublemaker.
Troublemaker is terrible. Yeah. But
I listened very closely to the most recent trilogy because it was actually the only albums I hadn't listened to straight through before
mm-hmm.
I kind of did this. So I was paying attention, and I actually liked all of them, but I kind of picked some favorites from each one,
mm-hmm.
and then I went and reread what you wrote, and with the exception of being higher on Dose than you and a little lower on Uno than you, I pretty much agreed with everything that you said. And when I listened to Uno, I had heard Fell for You, and I was like someone at some point played this for me, and I realized after I reread it is that you listed it as one of your favorites, but that was my favorite on the album.
Yeah, I'd call that my hidden gem on that one.
Yeah,
it doesn't really get played live, I don't think much. It's not, you know, wasn't a huge song off the album. It's not the most challenging song in the world, but it's so smooth.
Yeah,
it's so easy to listen to.
I mean, you could put that on like a mix of Blink 182 and like just great pop punk songs from the 90s and early 2000s, and it would just completely fit in,
slide right in.
Yeah, it's right up. It's a great song.
And
so.
Yeah, Billy Joe, I like his viewpoint on the trilogy. There was some admission of some flaws, but still, like I said, you know, the willingness to move forward and possibly want to sort of be a real person again and be with someone even though things weren't always a fairy tale.
Right.
I really like that.
And since this is the last of the trilogy on either of our lists, I think,
mm-hmm.
I just want to say one of the things I'll probably link to that review in our post. One thing you said that I really agree with that is kind of hard to say is that people say, oh, if they'd just taken the best tracks of the three albums, it would have been a 5-star album. You know, as opposed to three and a half star albums or whatever,
sure.
but, or, you know, maybe higher than that for some of them. But, You can't say that. I mean, just the fact that they made three full albums that are all moderately compelling for the vast majority of their playtime. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's to me is quite impressive.
Yeah, I don't understand comments like that because you could take any multiple albums from a band and say, well, if you just combined the best songs from these albums onto one album, you'd have a great album. I mean, that would always be the case. The fact that they were released 4 months apart, I mean, does that make it any more likely that we should want to combine them? I mean, maybe, but I think it sort of misses the point.
Well, and also they were kind of presented as like a package almost. Like
they were.
A little bit. I can see the point, but it's also...
I think they're different enough,
And you also, you just don't hear bands. I just like that it's a different thing. Like,
it is. It is. Well, it sort of shows how quote, big they've become that, we're just going to try three albums.
I know. It's impressive. It's interesting.
And now, I will say the trilogy, I think it's for, hardcore Green Day fans only.
Yeah?
I wouldn't start someone with the trilogy.
No. You could send them a couple of tracks off it.
Yeah, I wouldn't really start them there, but I do like Uno, so there's that.
So my number four, are we on number four now?
I believe that's...
Yes, so well, my... No, because you just did number four. Yeah, I did six and my
that's
honorable
right.
mention and my five.
You did Dos and Nimrod?
Yeah. Okay. Well, my honorable mention right. was Dos. Mm-hmm. So my number four is Dookie. Dookie is basically the best possible version of that type of album. Its sound is, to me, it's... A little bit, it runs, the sound itself runs together a little bit. It's kind of all the same-ish, which is, I know it's kind of part of the point of punk, where it's stripped down. Mm-hmm. And it may not be a pure punk album, but it is a, in a broad sense, a punk album. Or at least a pop punk album. And because of that, that's kind of like the overall style of it. Isn't my number one, but I think for that type, you can't really do better than Dookie. I mean, there's so many classics on it. You can just go through. You can't go more than three tracks, really, without hitting a classic track. It's fun to listen to, basically, all the way through. My hidden gem from this album is Pulling Teeth. And it was hard to come up with a hidden
like
gem.
That one.
Because mm-hmm. There's so many of them.
So many
classics.
Are well known.
I know, and it's what people know Green Day for. And I think it's indisputably a great album, and even if it's not exactly the type of album I like in terms of its sound... I very much enjoy it. I very much admire it, and I find myself listening to it moderately frequently, even probably more than some of the other ones in my top five. So, it's a great album.
Well, that's the thing about Dookie. It's very playable.
Yeah,
it's very fun to listen to. And so, Dookie is my number three. So I can sort of slide in here and talk about it a bit because that's the next one I was going to bring up. I probably like it a little more than you do. I think it's fantastic. It took me a while to get into it. I'd heard Basket Case and one or two others early on, but to really get into the whole album took me a while. But then I did. I thought it was, frankly, a lot better than it had been sold to me by the general public or critics or, whatever impression I'm going to say you'd gotten from it. I think it's great. I think there's enough differences of the sound that the songs sound distinct enough. To still be interesting all the way through.
Yeah, I agree.
The hooks are amazing. Basket Case is incredible. Burnout is a great start to the album.
Oh, I was going to bring that up if you didn't. Yeah, I mean, it just...
Burnout is great.
10 seconds in, you want to listen to the whole album.
Yeah. They have so much energy. They sound like having so much fun.
Yeah.
Like, they do some interesting things. Like, the bass line of, was it Longview? I think is a little different.
It's not the most homogenous of punk style
right.
albums, but it's they do a couple interesting things, and
they do.
Even if the sound itself, like I said, is a little homogenous, it runs together mm-hmm. a little bit. The songs are so good, and they're each song has its own sense of energy. Like it doesn't.
Yeah, it might be Billy Joe's best album as far as the hooks go.
I think it might be. Yeah, I think so.
I mean, there's just so many and like. She, I think, is fantastic.
I think She is a candidate for their best choruses.
She is fantastic. I like Pulling Teeth, as you mentioned. I like, was it To the End or Till the End, a late song on there?
Yeah, okay.
Here's where I have to say, just like Hitchin' a Ride, how much I don't like When I Come Around. And I would say for similar reasons as Hitchin' a Ride, frankly. I think it dulls the energy. and I find it kind of boring. That's not to say that I don't like their ballads, because I do, but for some reason, I find When I Come Around to be just, it's just there, like a blob. It's not terrible. To me, it's just sitting there, like it's been out in the sun too long.
Yeah.
And so it's a little annoying that that's, you know, one of three greatest songs you ever only hear on the radio.
Right.
But, you know, that's how it goes.
I agree to a certain extent with When I Come Around. I mean, I think the riff is pretty good in a general sense, but in a sense of being a Green Day song, it doesn't really work for the album. Like,
yeah.
It kind of, like you said, it sucks the tempo out of it a little bit.
It does.
And the song doesn't really build. It's for an album that's just overloaded with some all-time great choruses. The chorus of When I Come Around, it doesn't bring you to the stratosphere like that.
No, it doesn't. Just think about Having a Blast is a great chorus. I'm trying to think of some of the early songs. Is it Chump? Is that one of the ones I'm thinking of?
Trying to place that one.
I don't know. Maybe it's not coming to me. But, and obviously Basket Case is incredible.
Oh yeah, obviously. I mean Basket Case.
Pretty much... The like you said, the platonic ideal of that type of song.
Exactly.
Of what it's trying to be.
I agree.
Just overflowing with hooks. So, I'm a big fan of Dookie. It's very playable. To me, it's one of those albums that it sounds a little bit better playing than in retrospect. You know, it's just, you know, it's fun. It's ear candy. It's
ear candy. That's a good way to put it, yeah.
Yeah. So, that's my number three.
Okay. So that was my four and your three, so it's back to me for my number three.
Mm-hmm.
So my number three is, I struggled with this, I didn't want to do this, but I did this, because if I'm going with what I truly believe in terms of intrinsic quality, this belongs here, even if I still have some resentment towards this album.
Oh, this will be interesting.
And I think you probably have guessed what it is, but it's American Idiot. American Idiot at number three was the, as far as I was concerned, the single most overplayed album of high school. I mean, our junior and senior years of
high
school.
That's a bold claim.
I thought it was at the time. I'm not saying that it definitely was, but that was what I was struck with. And I wrote a review of American Idiot that, for some reason, has been read thousands of times. It's not even that good of a review. It's just something I spat out in like a half hour. And I don't even entirely agree with it anymore. But one thing I said that's kind of still true is that my impression of this album will be forever tinged by like what my opinion was in high school, even if I don't really agree with this anymore at all, actually. But that...
Oh, not, we all have albums like that.
Yeah, that not only had Green Day become sellouts and like... tried to make an album that would sell, but they were being celebrated because they finally made an album that like that wasn't punk and that people liked and stuff. And so not only were they sellouts, but they were celebrated because they were sellouts. And I don't think that's true. I think some people think that. I mean, obviously, I thought that, and there's probably other people who kind of have that impression that Green Day got, you know, too big for their own good, and they got big. I don't know, that they didn't really deserve it for doing something that wasn't really Green Day, but as we kind of said at the beginning, I don't think that early Green Day is the only essence of Green Day. I think that's one of the interesting things about Green Day is how there is no simple essence of what is Green Day music. And I mean, you listen to it now, it just there's so much goodness in American Idiot. Pretty much, I listen to it all the way through, and there's not too much that I skip over. So what do you... I mean, I guess you probably have some opinions on American Idiot.
Well, interestingly enough, just like with Dookie, it's the next one on my list. It's my number two. So, I can segue... We can talk about that for a bit. Segue right in there. It's my number two, and it's one of my highest-rated albums ever among any artist. I think it's incredible.
It's a great album.
And I really only got into it and into them when I saw them live three summers back. And I heard songs off American Idiot, and they just hit me in a way that they never hit me before. And then I went back and actually bought the album and actually listened to it. And I thought it was incredible. My problem with it was that the first thing I ever heard from it was Boulevard of Broken Dreams, which I think is literally the worst song on the album.
Wow.
I don't think it's a terrible song, I just think it's the worst song on the album. And that's all I ever heard before. And I was like, yeah, I don't need to rush out and get that album. But I was blown away. I think how they, you know, Warning's a nice little album, but how they brought back all the power and the passion in American Idiot that they had, or more than they had before, frankly, just blows me away. The first three tracks are incredible. Yeah. American Idiot, the title track, is so perfect.
They couldn't have done that better.
There's
than
not
that.
Like a better way to get like pumped up for something than playing the first three songs on that album. American Idiot is so good. And I remember when I played the album the first couple times, I would play American Idiot and I would let it roll to Jesus of Suburbia. And it was like, oh, a 10-minute song, wonderful. I'm going to get up and do other things and keep it playing. And I remember thinking, wow, every part of this song is interesting.
I'm going to make a bold claim here that you probably don't agree with, but if you were to ask me right now, Gut Instinct, Green Day's best song, I would go with Jesus of Suburbia.
Oh, I would say the same thing.
Really?
Okay. Oh, I'm pretty sure it's my favorite. It's my number one song by them. I was blown away at how compelling it was for 9 minutes. I usually don't like songs that long, frankly.
Yeah, I'm not going to say that. It does so much. It's a wow track. It's incredible.
Absolutely a wow track. It is their, like, their absolute, yes, God touched us for these however many minutes of writing the song in studio, and we just made everything perfect.
Yeah.
Like, it's not really explainable, it's not predictable, it's just somehow it all works. And I love the vocals, I just love everything about it. And then Holiday, I think, is fantastic.
Oh, yeah.
Especially in the live album they put out. Oh, it sounds like the place is going to burn down, which is great, which is exactly what you want from that kind of song. The whole album is like that. Yeah, I can do without Boulevard, but She's a Rebel is a great little, fun little, punky little one in the middle there. And I love Letterbomb.
Yeah, you mentioned that on the Letterbomb site. It works so well.
I don't know why. It's got some of the Dookie hookiness, but it's a little more serious, which is makes sense because American Idiot was more serious. I love the bridge. Really, from the bridge through the end of the song is perfect. It sounds so rousing and intense, but still desperate and a little resigned at the same time. I love it.
Yeah,
love Letterbomb, and I even like the second long song, the Homecoming.
Yeah, Homecoming. When I listened to it this past week, I find myself peeking at the time length, though. How much longer till this one's over?
Yeah, it's definitely not Jesus of Suburbia.
It ran a little long for me.
Yeah.
My second favorite song on the album is probably What's Her Name.
I was hoping we'd get to What's Her Name. What's Her Name is a good one.
Adore it. Sometimes when songs go from ballads to intensity, it doesn't really work for me.
Yeah.
It feels a little forced, like they're like, oh, we're going to do a song that's this, like without it actually earning it.
Now, I would say that formula generally works for me, probably more often than it works for you. I'm a sucker for that sort of thing.
Okay.
Which maybe explains why I like What's Her Name, explains it.
The end of What's Her Name, like, I don't remember the exact lyrics, but it's some of the greatest emotional catharsis in any music that I've heard. It's such a highlight. It just builds to such intensity. It's probably in my top 10 or so closing tracks ever.
Perfect track. Like I'm very glad they didn't do one thing that I will say I hate when bands do, which is they write an album like American Idiot and they make the last song just some soporific, really quiet, sparse ballad with nothing going on, and like some really quiet singing.
And it drives me
crazy. And I just end the album one song early, frankly.
Yeah.
And so, I love that What's Her Name has the emotional catharsis that you said that it has, and it really closes off the arc of the album, I think, really well.
So I do have that baggage with it. I mean, like I said, and it also beyond that, it kind of changed the way that I've listened to Green Day a little bit. I mean, up through American Idiot, Green Day was a band that, and I loved them for this, that I could choose any of their, the albums that had come out at the time, and I could hit play, and I could listen to it, and I could enjoy it, and I could pay attention to it a little bit, but I could also do something else, and whichever one of those I was doing, I was getting a lot out of it.
Yeah.
And there are parts of American Idiot that work that way, and like I said, I think the highlights of this are just so good, but it also, it's harder for me to just hit play and have it be background music, which sounds like a really dumb complaint, probably.
I know what you mean.
But it kind of changed changed the way that I listen to Green Day to make it a little harder for me to, because it kind of wants me to pay attention.
Well, I think some people have an issue with their turn that way in the 2000s. I think some people think they've gotten a little too serious, mm-hmm. a little too self-important, yeah. you know, a little...
Dramatic, it might be the word.
Dramatic, right. So I think your point is valid. I think some people want them to go back to writing fun songs where they're not talking about everything falling apart in the world, right? So I hear you there. Really the biggest reason American Idiot is number two and not number one on my list is I think the peaks are phenomenal. There are a couple songs in the middle that don't do anything for me. Boulevard, Extraordinary Girl.
Yeah,
there's probably one more.
It does.
So
yeah.
There's a little bit of a lull there, but
it's not too flabby an album. I mean, it's shorter than actually a couple of their other albums.
I wouldn't call it flabby. I just mean when we're talking second favorite versus first favorite
album.
Yeah,
that's fair. That's fair, yeah.
But yeah, the chorus of the title track is... You mentioned She is their best chorus. I think the chorus of the title track is their best chorus.
Yeah, I can actually respect that choice. I have to say, American Idiot is probably the track on that album most tarnished by being overplayed in high school for me.
I didn't have that experience. Like I said, all I ever heard was Boulevard before I bought the album.
Yeah.
And which is probably good. I didn't get it ruined for me. And I just heard it for the first time and was like, this is amazing.
I still think it's a great song.
I think Welcome to a New Kind of Tension is such a great line.
Yeah.
That I use all the time. I love that chorus. And then goes right into Jesus, which feels half as long as it is.
Oh, yeah.
And then Holiday is fantastic, especially live. On the album they put out, the Bullet in the Bible album they put out after American Idiot, the version of Holiday on there is incredible. That's the version I was playing instead of the album version.
Interesting.
Because the crowd just sounds so into it, the band sounds so into it.
I mean, number three on my ranking, but parts of it are some of the best Green Day's ever been. And it's hard. I think part of the reason that I only have it at number three, I could have talked myself into higher or lower, but as I said, I can't think of another album that I've kind of turned around on more.
Yeah, because, I'm similar.
Yeah.
I'm similar. I mean, like I said, it's very high on my overall album rankings. So let's hear your number two.
My number two,
I'm curious to see where this goes now,
is Warning.
I want to hear your number one, I thought that was it.
So Warning, we already talked about a little bit, and I didn't want to get too much into praising it, because obviously I was going to talk about it more.
Sure.
You know, to me, this is an album that was made for me. It's not necessarily Green Day's greatest album, or the, you know, second greatest album, or whatever. I think American Idiot is indisputably a bigger accomplishment, and I think when they retire, they will be known more for Green Day, and people will look back on American Idiot, and I think that's appropriate. I think it's a bigger accomplishment, but what they did with Warning for me is just they made an album that I kind of disagree with you on the middle being weak. I mean, there might be one or two, but I never, when I listen to Warning, I never feel like this is bland, this is uninteresting, because they were just doing so much with their sound. They were, as you said, poppy, but to me, poppy also translated to just making an album that had ebb and flow and could just hit play and listen to it all the way through, and it wouldn't ever get repetitive or boring, but it also, the sound of it's so good, the songs are so good. I mean, it has some of my hidden gem my hidden gem for American Idiot, by the way, was What's Her Name, which we talked about.
Mine would be Letterbomb.
Yeah, okay. But for Warning, my hidden gem, I had trouble coming up with it because this is one that's just ingrained in me. Mm-hmm. Where I like pretty much all the songs. This was like my Green Day album back when I, you know, first and second time got into Green Day. I guess now would be the third time I kind of feel like I'm getting back into Green Day, forcing myself to listen to it.
We all have that one album that you feel is your album from a band. I totally understand what you mean.
And I think for the past week I've had Misery stuck in my head, which is like a funky little ballad where I don't know even exactly how you describe the style, like almost like Russian or something like that, or like it sounds like a I don't know what you'd call it, like a Yiddish style ballad or something, but that's my hidden gem. But that's also, like I said, it's hard for me to come up with a hidden gem because I love Castaway. I guess Minority was a hit. I love Minority.
Minority was a hit, yeah.
You know, even the tracks that are clearly not singles, like Hold On and Jackass, mm-hmm. they have interesting texture, they have nice polish, they're good tracks. And, you know, you always read that this was their Kinks album, where they just listened to the Kinks.
Yeah. But to me, the Beatles, too.
Yeah, and I actually hear almost as much, about half of it, I hear almost as much, like, classic power pop, which is a big phase I went through last year.
Yeah.
Like, the Raspberries and Big Star. You can definitely hear some of that in there, too. And I think, I know I listed Misery as my hidden gem, but, I mean, Castaway and What's Her Name are my... Was Jesus of Suburbia a single?
Yes.
So I think What's Her Name and Castaway might be my two, number one and two non-singles by Green Day. I mean, I love both of them so much. And I mean, it's my Green Day album, if that makes sense. And I still listen to it and still enjoy it. So.
It does. And we covered this before. Yeah, Misery doesn't do anything for me.
Yeah.
Castaway doesn't do much for me.
Hmm.
So that stretch in the middle, there were Fashion Victim, Castaway, and Misery.
Fashion Victim's a step down from there. But...
Yeah, but just that stretch in the middle after Church on Sunday, which is my hidden gem on it.
Yeah.
I can skip right over to Deadbeat Holiday and be fine.
Deadbeat Holiday is also
good. I like Deadbeat Holiday a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah, those don't do a lot for me. Macy's Day Parade doesn't do a lot for me.
Yeah, to me it's a better ballad than some of their earlier stuff. But it doesn't really stand out.
To me, it's
out.
One of those throwaway quiet songs at the end of the album that I hear a lot. That I'm like, all right.
And I will say that one thing I acknowledge is that American Idiots was so great for having size to their sound. Like it just sounded big. I mean, that's what I guess they call it arena rock. But to me, it's almost like. It's more than just blasting guitars. It's like it has to be engineered.
Yeah, arena rock, I feel like, gets a bad rap, so you almost don't want to call it that.
Yeah.
But I know what you mean.
And it's Warning does not have that, and that's kind of a mark against it. So,
Warning is for a hardcore fan. Again, I wouldn't start someone with Warning.
No, definitely not.
But
it might be the Green Day album I've listened most to.
Okay. I was expecting it to be number one, so I'll be curious to see hear your number one. I guess it's time for my number one. Is that
think so. Yeah.
All right. To further alienate our devoted listeners here, my number one is 21st Century Breakdown. This is my Green Day album. This, which dropped in 2009, this is the one that took me from a decent casual fan. I like Dookie. Okay, I like a little bit of Nimrod. I need to really get into them, and this is serious stuff, and I'm going to be playing nothing else for the next several months. I think it's like a better version of American Idiot. They have added that size to their sound you mentioned. They're dressing it up now with this glossy sheen and these super anthemic choruses and so much size and scope, but still with like... They're perfect pop hooks in there, and they're doing some different things in their songs. They'll do that stuff that maybe you don't like so much. Well, they'll start off as a quiet, you know, piano ballad of a song and then launch into a heavy rock chorus, that sort of thing. On the Glorias, they do that a lot.
I love Gloria.
Yeah, Gloria, especially the first one. Yeah, I think they do it fantastically. And they do that various points throughout the album. I just think it sounds fantastic. It sounds very close to, like, what rock music to me should sound like. You can tell, you know, they're listening to... You know, you mentioned that, you know, Warning is their Kinks album. Here you can tell they've listened to, you know, The Who and The Clash and stuff like that.
Yeah.
More classic rock along those lines. Even maybe War by U2. It's so huge and anthemic, which I'm a sucker for. But I just think everything about it works. I think his lyrics have gotten much better. You know, we mentioned before how early in his career you didn't even need to pay attention to them.
Yeah.
But I think there's several songs on the album where that's not true at all. I think... The title track, 21st Century Breakdown, is fantastic. Know Your Enemy, to me, is one of the catchiest rock songs I've heard in a long time.
I think my relationship with Know Your Enemy is what my relationship with American Idiot would be if I hadn't been overexposed to it earlier, because it's kind of like a perfect way to set the pace and set the tone.
It really is. And then it goes into Gloria, which I think is great, Before the Lobotomy, which is... I remember the first time I heard this album, I was like, oh, they're doing different things. They're opening with a piano for 2 minutes, maybe, you know, before launching in. But it sounds... Maybe some people thought it sounded a little too glossy, perhaps. A little too produced, maybe. But I think it sounds great. I think it sounds modern and epic without sounding overly produced. I just think it sounds modern and sharp and sleek. And it's a long album. It's, what, 17, 18 songs?
It's 70 minutes.
Right. Which is all more that I expect, because other than two ballads where they don't do anything that I can skip, I like pretty much every song. Last Night on Earth is terrible, and Restless Heart Syndrome is pretty terrible. But because they're just not even, there's a little piano there, and there's nothing going on there.
Yeah.
The rest of them, I think, are pretty much uniformly excellent. I love the Static Age. I love the chorus of the Static Age. I love the bridge of 21 Guns. We mentioned the Glorias. I love the, they go back to like sort of old school hardcore punk on, what's the song? Horseshoes and Hand Grenades, just like a fun little hardcore song that sort of sounds like Minor Threat. And they go back to classic Green Day with the chorus of the Static Age, and I could just listen to this album anytime.
If I did not have a, I had a very strong inkling that this was going to be at or near the top of your list.
Yeah.
Because you wrote a pretty glowing review of it for Earn This. And I think I've heard you mention it before. If you hadn't, if I hadn't had that inkling, I probably would have brought this up with Dose as an album that's kind of an honorable mention for me to my mm-hmm. top five, where I am attached to it, but it didn't quite crack my top five. To me, and this is going to sound like really unspecific, but it lacks, for me, it lacks the classic gene. And I don't really know what that means, but it just means like when I listen to the whole thing, I get into it a little bit. But then I walk away not really remembering specific moments. And I kind of, aside from maybe the singles and a couple other songs, it hasn't hooked its claws into me, I guess is what I'm trying to say.
Well, there must be something to that because, I mean, it certainly didn't make the same impact American Idiot did. I think, you know, it got, by and large, positive reviews. AllMusic liked it a lot. Rolling Stone liked it. You know, it got some decent reviews. And, you know Your Enemy was a little bit of a hit. But you're right. That's why I don't think most people would agree with me on this. So there must be something to that.
But I will say that I very much admire the album. It kind of took what some of my reservations
were. You admire it more than you love it?
Yeah. So it took some of what my reservations were with American Idiot, and it escalated them a little bit.
Just too much and too serious and too dramatic?
Yeah. Or? And I also, you know, whereas with American Idiot, I felt like it connected, like the lyrics weren't, I didn't think the lyrics were astoundingly great. I thought it was very good from time and again, but I liked the lyrics on American Idiot, but I couldn't ever really get into the lyrics of 20, maybe I need to like pay a little more attention to it, but the lyrics never sucked me in.
To me, I don't think there's any gems, you know, there's no Bob Dylan or Bright Eyes, like, incredible amounts of poetry here or anything.
Right.
But I think they, by and large, all work for their songs and fit the songs. And they never, you know, they never made me stop and go, oh, that was bad. Which can really hurt me on a song.
Well, I think the first line mentions Nixon or something like that.
Oh, yeah.
And I rolled my eyes right then. And that might have been, like, from that point on my brain.
No, but I love the part in 21st Century Breakdown where he goes the line about, I never made it as a working class hero.
Yeah.
I like that a lot. I don't know if it's a Bruce Springsteen dig or what.
I don't know, yeah.
But I like that a lot. I like that lead into the chorus there. I mean, I'll just close with saying early Green Day is a little slight for me to really love it and really play it all the time. And that's why American Idiot and 21st Century are my favorite two by them, was they don't sound slight anymore. They don't sound like they could sort of topple over if there was a stiff breeze.
I agree.
So, some people may not like that. Some people, it's too much, but I like a lot of music that people think is too much, so, or too dramatic, or stuff like that.
You could call me a walking contradiction, because there's a lot of the stuff I just criticized is also stuff that I generally praise, like, albums that dare to have substance, and dare to try big things, and I kind of, like, for example, I actually am probably the only person on the planet that enjoys Be Here Now by Oasis. And that is like a big album. Mm-hmm. It's not necessarily full of ideas, but it's full of sounds. In fact, it's definitely not full of ideas.
Well,
but, and so, you know, that's, I think the fact that I enjoy that, and then I also didn't put 21st Century Breakdown in my top five, it's a different type of big.
No, I understand. But, I understand. And taste is complicated like that. But it's like I mentioned with the trilogy of Uno, Dos, Tres, how, you know, the rockers don't play as well anymore. They're not as dramatic and fast and fun.
Mm-hmm.
I think they absolutely are on 21st Century Breakdown. I think they're loud and they sound great live and they can pack an arena and they can get you pumped up about anything.
They have that, you have that advantage here is that you actually know what they sound like live, and I think that that does mm-hmm. add a lot to a song.
They fit. I saw them on their tour for 21st Century, and they fit right in, right next to, you know, the songs from American Idiot. You know, they opened with, I think the first three songs, they opened with 21st Century, followed by Know Your Enemy, followed by Gloria, and then launched into some older stuff, and it just fit in perfectly, and the place was rocking, and so it was only 5 years ago where they could still bring that power, so maybe they can bring in the future. We'll see. So that's my number one.
So I'm wondering if you guessed what my number one was.
I have no idea. I'm ready for anything here.
Okay. It's kind of a cheat because it's under a nom de plume.
Oh.
Stop, Drop, and Roll is my number one by Foxborough Hot Tubs.
Oh, that is a little bit of a cheat.
I was waiting
for like an Insomniac or something.
No. Yeah, that would have been interesting if I'd gone with Insomniac. Or I think before we were recording, we were bad mouthing Kerplunk. Like I didn't.
Yeah, I don't think we need.
Or what, like the slappy hours? Or
yeah, I'm not a huge fan.
Pre Dookie, I can't even really listen.
I'm
to
not
it.
A huge
sounds
fan.
Like a rough draft of
it
Dookie.
Does. And I'm not a huge fan of Insomniac. I think there's like three good songs.
I completely agree. And there's like I like a little.
The
bit
rest
of it
sounds like B-side Green Day.
Yeah,
yeah.
B-side early Green Day, which is just kind of like
it's
I
just
don't know.
Yeah, forgettable pop punk songs.
So Stop, Drop, and Roll kind of has, it has what I like about Warning, where I don't even know where to start, because as soon as this album came out, I was like, oh, that's kind of interesting. They did like a kind of throwback style album, and I listened to it, and I just kept listening to it, and at some point I realized how much I actually love this album. It's 32 minutes, which is shorter than every single Green Day album.
Including Dose?
Well, I don't know about... It's shorter than Dookie. I don't know about... It's shorter than Kerplunk. I don't know about it. Like, because they kind of weirdly released that stuff before that. But it's early. Right. It's shorter. It's 1 minute shorter than... forget which one. Nimrod? Insomniac. Anyway, it's... Oh, yeah, Insomniac.
That's yeah, because Nimrod's long.
Yeah, Nimrod's long. That's right. It's 1 minute shorter than Insomniac. And it's less than half as long as 21st Century Breakdown.
That's right.
But it's...
Slight, I tell you, slight.
Yeah.
No, I'm just kidding. Go on.
But it's just so high energy. It has great melodies. It doesn't really have ballads. It has, like, one ballad on it. But the sound is rich. Like, it sounds like a band that knows what they're doing and knows how to play, like, good classic-style rock music. It has some fantastic lights-out tracks. I mean, I don't skip any track. When I hit play, and there's probably not another Green Day album where that's true. I hit play and I let it go all the way to the end, even if I'm paying attention. You know, so like some of the other early ones, I can hit play and not worry about it, listen all the way through. This one, even if I'm paying attention, I'll listen to it straight through. It manages to steal like a lot of, you know, artistically steal great riffs through history, great songs and styles like. Alligator is You Really Got Me by the Kinks. And it does so, and it just does so gracefully and makes it into its own song. Mother Mary is one of my favorite songs. It's just like the essence of punk-ish pop, but it doesn't even really have much punk to it. It's just mostly like rock punk, and it's just like so high energy, so catchy. It's Pedestrian is great too. I mean, honestly, there's just so much about it that I like, and I think if you have this style album where every song is good, it's going to be the type of album you're just going to listen to forever, because it's always a pick me up. It's always you know, it's just, it doesn't get old. It's just, even though it's intentionally a little bit more slight than the type of stuff you're talking about, I mean, you know, American Idiot, 21st Century Breakdown, to me, like a well done song in this, you know, garage rock style. Is something that I listen to forever, and that's why I love this album. It has all three of, or I guess now Green Day has four people now. It has, I think they got their touring guitarist, I think it's now officially in the band.
Yeah, you may be right.
And then I think it has one other person with them, but they play...
So it's the whole band.
It's the whole band with like one other person, so... Mm-hmm. I mean, does it count as Green Day? If you want me to cheat and go back and... that's also, by the way, that's another reason I wanted to bring up Dose.
Yeah, so right. So if we don't allow this, then Dose is your number five.
Yeah, exactly. Shift everything up one. But,
Well, so I'll get my snarky thing out of the way first and just say that every song better be good if it's 32 minutes long.
Yeah.
Because most albums are 45 minutes, you can allow some filler songs. But if an album's 30 minutes long, it sort of better be all right. really good, right?
Right.
You know. So Dan threw a curveball at me here. I haven't even heard this album.
Really?
So I'm not really going to be able to talk a lot about it. I heard a lot of rumblings, especially when the trilogy came out, and especially Dose. I heard a lot of rumblings that the Fuck Time Hot Tubs were drawn on heavily for Dose. And I know Fuck Time started as a couple other songs. Which now that isn't the biggest recommendation. But
I was surprised when I read that, because I don't think of it as a Foxborough song.
But I've definitely heard good things. I have nothing more snarky to say about it. I've definitely heard good things. I'm surprised to hear you rank it number one. I was expecting something way out of left field, like Insomniac, and you went even even more out of left field. So you're out of the stadium here.
Yeah.
So
it's just muscular and perfect.
But I can't really.
You're not going to like it as much as me. There's no way, because I built it up so much, that you're going to be like, oh, this is okay. Because I mean, it is what it is. It is like garage rock style song where I think every song is good, and some of them are great. Most of them are great, and
If it was called a Green Day album, I would own it by now.
Yeah.
And so, I didn't realize until very recently that there was this other, you know, band, essentially, that they'd formed, you know, I mean, not even a different band, because it's the same people.
Yeah.
So, I would definitely have to check it out, but I can't really comment on it.
So, sorry about that.
That's okay. That's okay. We each have, you know, curveball number one choices. It'd be less fun if we, you know, both had Dookie number one, and that was that.
So yeah, I mean, to me, in summary, Stop, Drop, and Roll does what people wanted when they say Uno, Dos, Tres should have taken the best songs and put them all together.
Fair enough.
But it kind of does that, and it just takes like 12 really good songs, and it takes the interesting kind of classic rock inspired texture from Warning, but gives it a little more muscle and a little more heft to it.
Fair enough.
It's you know, I don't know if it's in my top 20 albums all time, but it's not. If it isn't, it's not far out of there. So,
okay, fair enough. Now, do we have any last thoughts we want to talk about? We mentioned our thoughts on Insomniac real briefly, and they're pretty similar. Anything else we want to cover, or, you know, we've touched on most of their career.
There's one song that I want to talk about. Actually, there's two things I want to talk about.
Bring it up.
One is the song X-Kid. And your review was the first time I heard of this song, and I went and listened to it. And if they had put that on Dose, it may not have fit in with the rest of Dose, but then, I mean, I think that would have been enough to get Dose into the top five. I mean, I think that's probably a top 10 Green Day song.
I could talk about X-Kid all day long.
It's great.
It's my favorite song in the trilogy. I think to me, I wasn't expecting it. I was, you know, last album of the trilogy, and I don't know, I wasn't really expecting anything like that. And to me, it's fantastic.
Yeah.
Like, about someone who knows his glory days are gone by, mm-hmm. and it sounds, you know, desperate, but still, you know, it's got a great melody. I think it's awesome.
Yeah.
If that had been on... It would have fit on Dookie sonically, but not lyrically. The message wouldn't fit when they were in their young twenties. Right. But yeah, I agree. If it was on a different album, it would just made that album, you know, that much better.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Which is kind of a cheating thing to say.
Sure. Yeah, Trey to me is fine. Trey has two or three songs I really like, and I can basically do.
Yeah, I mean, Trey. We didn't really talk. It's actually that and Insomniac are really the only ones we didn't really talk about.
Yeah,
they're major ones. But
they're similar to me. They have two or three great songs.
Yeah,
you know they can't really write an album without any gems, which is great. But there's some filler there.
Yeah, and
There's some songs on Trey that sound exactly like on Uno.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I was going to say. Is it sounds like almost like the leftovers from the first two albums.
Absolutely,
like they lost a little bit of steam.
Absolutely.
For them,
so. Plus, you know, Uno and Dose had a enough of a theme to each of them. You know, Uno was sort of the arena rock record. Dose was the garage punk party, you know, album.
Yeah.
Trade is, yeah, like I said, leftovers and sort of kind of a mess and just, you know, whatever.
That also has one of my least favorite, like one of the only times I've listened to Green Day and noticed the lyrics and been perturbed by the lyrics.
Drama Queen?
Oh, I was going to say Sex, Drugs, and Violence. Like it reads like a self-parody.
That's, and that's one of those songs that sounds like 17 other Green Day songs you've heard before.
Yeah, the music, anyways.
Yeah, but Drama Queen is terrible.
Have you listened to Demolicious? Do you know what that is?
I have not.
So do you know what it is?
It does not sound good. I'm not going to lie.
What it is, they took their slightly more raw. I mean, I didn't even notice it was really raw, but like there's slightly less mastered versions of Uno, Dos, Tres songs. And they only picked, they said, what if we had made Uno, Dos, Tres when we were on our first label, the one they did Doogie on? Mm-hmm. And this is what it would sound like. So they basically took all heavy hitting songs. They took, with the exception of like one ballad, and they, it's not my favorite songs on there, but there's some good ones on there. I mean, they didn't have like any of my five favorite songs from it on there, but it actually made for a good listen because it was very tonally consistent because it was all, it was like a slightly more raw. Anyways, I think you should give it a try. It's on Spotify and it's an interesting listen. So.
Well, I've been embarrassed here that Dan knows more about Green Day than I do when they're one of my favorite bands.
But, I don't know if I know more than
but you. I'm intrigued.
Well, I guess
that kind of
wraps it up. I mean, I think those were the other things I wanted to mention.
Yeah, we did need to cover Good Riddance because that was such a cliche.
Yeah, we brought it up, but honestly, like everyone knows Good Riddance.
Yeah,
and we didn't even talk about Basket Case that much because everyone knows Basket Case.
It's great. It's the perfect suburban, you know, preppy pop punk song for its time.
I'm worried that I was kind of paving the way for talking about Stop, Drop, and Roll by talking about the album length, so I apologize if I talk too much about the length.
No, that's fine. No.
But,
I think it's definitely, that's definitely worth noting for every album.
Especially if it's like an album that you want to think about listening to an album all the way through rather than just like.
To me, the only one where it bothers me is Nimrod.
Yeah, that's fair. Yeah.
And it's sort of out of left field. They write all these short pop punk albums, and then they throw it in 18 songs.
Yeah, Nimrod's too long.
But Good Riddance, you know, everyone knows the story. Or, you know, his girlfriend was moving away, you know.
I didn't actually know. Well, I did read that. That's right.
It's true, so to speak. Yep. And it's a good one.
I don't know if I have anything else. I mean, we covered most of my thoughts on Green Day in general and most of the specific albums. So
how do you feel about Boulevard of Broken Dreams? And or Wake Me Up When September Ends.
In my review, I praised both songs. The one that I wrote for Earn This when I revisited the album 7 years after I first heard it. But I see what you mean about it. I kind of enjoy the melody of it.
Oh, I like September a lot. I don't like Boulevard.
Oh, I was talking about Boulevard specifically. I do like Wake Me Up When September Ends.
I like that one a lot. That one has a little more kick to it.
It does. It's true. And I found, like, initially Boulevard of Broken Dreams was the one that got stuck on everyone's head. It's still, like, the one that they play all the time.
Mm-hmm.
But I found myself getting more into September more often these days. So, okay, real quick before we go, and because we're running, I think, a little past an hour here, but top three Green Day songs off the top of your head.
Ah, I should have looked at my list before I made this podcast. Jesus of Suburbia is my number one.
Uh-huh.
Actually, no. American Idiot is my number two.
Really?
American Idiot is my number two. So the first two songs of American Idiot are my top two. And then after that, give me your top three, and I'll think of my other one.
In no particular order, and there were some tough cuts from this. Mother Mary from Stop, Drop, and Roll.
Okay.
Jesus of Suburbia.
Okay.
And then number three is a grapple between several songs. I love Basket Case. I love Good Riddance. I love What's Her Name. I don't know what my number three is. It might actually be What's Her Name, which puts two of my top three from American Idiot.
My first year American Idiot, and I would say my third is 21st Century Breakdown title track.
Okay.
So I got my favorite two albums represented nicely. So
yeah, and I love Castaway too. I love Minority. I mean, there's a lot on Warning I like too, but yeah, it's might be What's Her Name, Suburbia, and Mother Mary.
So we're agreed on Suburbia.
Yeah, oh yeah, we love it. Yeah.
All right.
Well, good talk, and we'll have to do another one of these sometime soon.
Absolutely. Thanks, Dan.